I just want to give a quick update about the situation with Dr. Kent Hovind. Many of you are familiar with who he is, or maybe you're not familiar with who he is. But he's a guy that was featured in After the Tribulation. He's in prison just because of a bunch of financial, stupid tax things. It's not like it had anything to do with him breaking any of God's laws or anything. It's not like he did anything wicked or immoral to be there. But he is there because of financial reasons. And, you know, he's already served out most of his sentence. He was already supposed to have been released in February, at least onto house arrest, and be fully released in July. But now they're just coming at him with all these new charges. Just when he's about to get out, trying to pin more time on him and just kind of lock him up and throw away the key. Now, I believe that Dr. Kent Hovind is a brother in Christ. And, you know, I've spoken to him. I've talked to him about the gospel. And, you know, he believes like we believe, that it's by faith alone, that you cannot lose your salvation and stuff like that. And, you know, he does stand on the King James Bible and stuff like that. Now, is he exactly like us? No. But he's a brother in Christ. So that's why a few years ago I went and visited him in prison and have tried to be supportive of him, just because, you know, he's a victim of a government that is abusive. And that his son is a lying false prophet. And not only that, but I find it amazing that you can go to Kent Hovind's own website, drdino.com, which is after Kent Hovind, Dr. Dino, because he was a creation science guy who preached and taught about that. Isn't it amazing how you can go to his own website and you won't find any kind of an update about the fact that he's in prison and that he's suffering and that he's getting pinned with all these new charges? And it's not because Kent Hovind is not sending to his son all the updates and telling him, hey, post this, you know, get the word out about this. His son just refuses to post things that his dad sends him. And I heard that out of his own mouth, his dad's own mouth, that he sent him all kinds of blog posts and emails to go on his own blog, his own website. But his son has just pointed all those web addresses and everything just to his own garbage ministry. And let me tell you something. This ministry, Creation Today, is a worthless ministry. It's they've forsaken the King James Bible. Okay, he's teamed up with this false teacher, Paul Taylor, who loves James White and all these false teachers. And let me just show you where this is at. This is the plan of salvation from the Dr. Dino website as it stands right now, the website that Kent Hovind started and made famous. And now his son is at the helm running the ministry. This will prove to you what a lying false prophet his son is. Okay, this is the worst plan of salvation that I've ever seen in my entire life. And that's saying a lot, because I've seen some pretty bad plans of salvation. I've read some pretty bad gospel tracts. But I've printed it out. I'm just going to read it to you. Okay? This is straight off the website. Now, first of all, it's about a page and three quarters long. No Bible verses. Now, there's your first problem right there. When you're giving somebody the gospel, because the Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So if you're going to give people the gospel, tip number one, use the Bible. Amen. Okay? But listen to this. How to be saved. Anyone can be saved. The question is, how? Ask yourself these questions. Number one, do you need to be saved? Number two, do you want to be saved? Number three, how can you be saved? And then he begins to address these one by one. Number one, do you need to be saved? The Bible sets the standard for salvation pretty high. Have you ever taken a test where the pass mark is 100%? That is the pass mark in terms of holiness for the examination of life. God has set his standard of morality for us in the Ten Commandments. Let's look at a few of the Ten Commandments to see if you measure up. The ninth commandment says that you must not tell lies. How many lies do you think you've told in your life? If you've told just one lie, that makes you a liar. Just as if you committed one murder, you'd be a murderer. The Bible says that all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. The eighth commandment says that you must not steal. If you've ever taken something, however small, that does not belong to you, then you're a thief. The Bible says that no thief will ever enter the kingdom of heaven. The seventh commandment says that you must not commit adultery. Jesus said that whoever looks on someone with lust has already committed adultery in their hearts. The Bible says that no adulterer will enter the kingdom of heaven. The third commandment says that you must not take the Lord's name in vain. If you've ever used the words God, Jesus, or Christ as if they were a filthy cuss word, then you're a blasphemer. The Bible says that God will not leave unpunished those who blaspheme his name. These are just four of the Ten Commandments. Need we go on? The chances are that you are a lying, thieving, blaspheming adulterer at heart, and that you have to face God on Judgment Day. If God judges you by the Ten Commandments, will you be innocent or guilty? You'll be guilty. So, will you deserve heaven or hell? You know what you will deserve? Hell. And that is why you need to be saved, because we care about you and do not want you to go to hell. Number two. So we're on to page two now. Do you want to be saved? There's no reason for you to go to hell, even though you deserve hell, but it is only when you are convinced that you need a Savior that you will want a Savior. The issue is you've broken God's laws, the Ten Commandments. Breaking laws is called sin. The Bible says that you and I are sinners. I think I'm getting that by now. Can we get to maybe the gospel or the plan of salvation or something about Jesus? You know, oh, by the way, did I mention that you've sinned? Because you have disobeyed God? Some people think that God will weigh up all the good things in their lives against the bad things and come to a decision on whether or not they're good enough to enter heaven. This is not true, and you must not believe it. God tells us through the letter of James that if you've broken the law, the commandments, in just one area, then you're guilty of breaking all of them. But God has done something wonderful so that even though you deserve to go to hell, you don't have to go there. Do you want to know more about how to be saved? If so, then read on. Number three, how can you be saved? First, you must recognize the truth of what is written above. Okay, can we get off? Do you notice this? We're already a page and look, we're almost to the end. No mention of Jesus dying on the cross or being buried or rising again or believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved or John 3. No Bible. Just, oh, you're a sinner, 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 you're a sinner. Here, look, here's more sins you committed. Oh, by the way, sins when you break it. Did you know you broke God's law? Oh, you broke the commandments. You broke it all sin. You're sinning too much. Oh, okay. How can you be saved? First, you must recognize the truth of what is written above, that you're a sinner who deserves hell and who needs and wants a Savior. Second, repent of your sin.
What?
This means that you must completely turn away from your sin.
That's nuts.
Oh, that's, no, it's impossible.
Yeah. Right.
Who here, I'd like for anybody to come up here right now who has completely turned away from their sin. Come on up here. Come on up here. Is anyone that arrogant? Is anyone that prideful to actually come up here and stand here and say, I have completely turned away from my sin. But according to him, that's how you need to be saved. So he spends 75% of this thing just going on and on about your sins and you've sinned and you're a sinner. And by the way, I forgot to mention you sinned. And then it's like, how do you get saved? Turn from your sins. Repent. This is not the gospel of Jesus Christ, my friend. Repent of your sins. This means to completely turn away from your sin. It's more than just saying sorry. It's a complete change of direction as you endeavor by God's power to go his way instead of the way of sin. So what do you have to do to be saved? Strive to live a good life.
Yeah. Right.
Tell me if I'm reading this wrong. He says you must completely turn away from your sin. It's more than just saying sorry. It's a complete change of direction as you endeavor by God's power to go his way instead of the way of sin. You have to try really hard to follow the commandments and live a good life. That's what he's saying you have to do to be saved. Is that biblical?
No.
Is that the gospel? Now look, so far, this plan of salvation is 54 lines long on this paper that I printed. It's 54 lines long. I've just read you the first 49 lines out of 54. The only mention of Jesus was to say, don't use Jesus as a cuss word. That's the only mention of Jesus. We're 49 lines into a 54-line salvation plan, and there's been no mention of Jesus except just to say, oh, don't say Jesus as a cuss word. So, what's going to be in these last five lines? I guess the whole gospel is going to be crammed into these last five lines because we've just spent 49 lines on you're a sinner and you need to turn from your sin to be saved. So here's the last five lines. Third, you must trust in Jesus completely. You see, he took the punishment for your sins on the cross. Thanks for finally bringing that up. He's the only person who never sinned. Yet God the Father punished his son in your place and in my place. So put your complete trust in Jesus. Pray to him, which is like talking to him, and ask him to forgive you. He always and immediately forgives those who genuinely call on him in this way. So basically, as an afterthought, after browbeating you for your sins for 49 lines and telling you that the way to be saved, first of all, is to admit you're a sinner. Second of all, to completely turn away and start trying to live right. And then thirdly, also, trust Jesus because he died on the cross. Oh, you forgot to mention something, that he rose again from the dead. Right. Isn't the gospel the death, burial, and resurrection? But see, he doesn't have time for that. He's too busy going through each of the Ten Commandments one by one and telling you how you need to turn from your sins and how being sorry is not enough and you need a total change of life for you to start striving and endeavoring to live right. Oh, by the way, Jesus died on the cross. But you know what, though? I mean, you really just need to ask for forgiveness for your sins is what you need to do to get saved. This is garbage. Yeah. Nobody's getting saved reading this trash. This, you know what? They're going to walk away thinking like, oh, man, I need to clean my life up. That's what it says. This is lies. This is work salvation. Yeah. Right. When you're sitting there telling somebody to be saved, you say, well, but he did mention trust Jesus at the very end, kind of. Okay, but if it's faith plus works, then it's all works. Because the Bible says, if it be of grace, it's no more works.
Amen.
Otherwise, grace is no more grace.
That's right.
But if it be of works, then is it no more grace? Otherwise, work is no more work. I mean, how much do you have to pay for something before it's not a gift anymore? If you pay 1 cent for something, it's no longer a gift. It's no longer free. And so to sit there and say, well, yeah, you trust Christ, but you also have to endeavor to live a good life, and you also have to turn completely from your sins, not just being sorry. No, you need to change. You need to fix things. This is works-based salvation. Right. It's lies. It's garbage. It is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I find it funny that this plan of salvation even barely mentions Jesus. Barely. Oh, yeah, he died on the cross. Barely at the end. No mention of the resurrection. You know, no emphasis on what he did for us. It's all an emphasis on what you've done and fixing what you've done. It's false. So then after the plan of salvation, they have this thing that says, what next? There's no way for us to tell whether or not you've been saved as a result of reading this article. Only you and God know the actual contents of your heart. So find some fellowship. That makes sense. Get plugged into a good church. Hey, you forgot a word, Baptist. Hello, is anybody out there? Plug into a good Baptist church. Where you'll be taught the truth of Scripture. Get a Bible. You forgot something, get a King James Bible. Oh yeah, you don't believe in that anymore. And read a portion of it every day so that God can teach you from His Word. I'd like to start reading a portion of it now, but you didn't include one in this plan of salvation. Read a portion of it every day so that God can teach you from His Word. If you'd like to let us know that you've been saved, then we'd be thrilled and would pray for you. You know what? This guy's a lying false prophet. And while his dad, while his own father, his own flesh and blood is rotting in prison, he is too busy promoting this kind of trash and promoting that slug, Paul Taylor, with his false Bible versions and false gospel, and promoting a bunch of trash that he doesn't even have time to even mention the fact on his dad's own website. Oh, by the way, did you know that my dad is being, you know, sentenced for more time in prison? It's really sad is what it is. That, you know, and the saddest part about it is, you know, the fact that he would just sit there and take his dad's ministry and just totally change it into this liberal, non-Baptist, non-King James Bible ministry. It's really just a shame and a disgrace to his father. And somebody needs to say it. Somebody, and that's why I'm saying it right now, because somebody needs to get up and point out the elephant in the room. You know, the fact that he's sitting in prison for years and years without his son. Even so, when I called him up and asked him, hey, you want a visitor? Have you had a visitor in a while? He named many years. He had not been visited by anyone, including his own family, in many years. While his son flies all over the country, doing crisscrossing the country, promoting lies and with his Proof of God conference. There is no proof of God except the Holy Bible. Amen. This is the proof of God. You know why I believe in God? Because the Bible said in the beginning God.
Amen.
Need some fossil that Eric Hovind's going to show me to believe in God? The Proof of God conference. The proof of God is John 3:16.
Amen.
And a King James Bible. But, you know, I'm not going to be silent. I'm going to point out the false teachers and the heretics of our day and mark them and avoid them. And the reason he needs to be pointed out is because a lot of people are like, oh, Kent Hovind, yeah. And then they get sucked into his son's false teaching. When his son is, you know, look, Rand ain't Ron and Eric ain't Kent. All right.